special success. All for one.
And one for all.
And one for all.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And, you know, there's a... I don't know why people do, some people dislike this show. And what's interesting, James, is some people recently have told me, I like when I go out to protests and stuff like that, I do these sort of angry megaphone rants, and they get like 65 likes and zero dislikes. But there's always a comment there in the section saying, "Oh, Vinny, you're not going to get through to people if you're angry." Really? Really? The statistics completely disagree with you, actually, and they're like, learn some psychology. Really? Really? Have you ever heard of trauma-based mind control? That's some psychology for you. If you traumatize people with angry yelling and ranting, it shakes them out of their peaceful, restful slumber and lets them know that there's some actual, real Shiite Muslim going down. And, I mean, look. The human race is being controlled. The human race is being exterminated. The human race is being completely undermined. And you expect people to be calm because that's the only way they're going to come across? Are you freaking retarded? Are you out of touch with reality? Yeah. I mean, quit making excuses, all right? Sure, it might make you uncomfortable, but that's good. You don't learn anything unless you get out of your comfort zone. So I don't like about people, man. They think that being comfortable for their entire existence is something that's actually beneficial to them. No. It's like sitting on your ass for your entire existence and never getting any exercise is beneficial for your existence. Your muscles atrophy. You become weak. Get some emotional backing, ladies and gentlemen. Get angry. Do something. Anything. Not because you have to, but because you freaking well should. Okay? It's the right thing to do. And eventually, you'll learn to control these emotions and you'll be able to put them out. Because, you know, most of the shows, I'm particularly calm and, you know, very reasoned and that kind of thing. And occasionally, I'll get angry, but sure, who doesn't? You know? Sorry for having real emotions. Maybe I should just, you know, wear a Masonic tie and have it choke the life out of me like a leash. And my very special guest is still James Wright. And I wanted to ask you, at what point did Freemasonry go from the supporters and funders of the American Revolution to cast off the evils of the crown? How did it go from that, bearing in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that most of the founding fathers were Masons, how did it go from that to a satanic occult organization? How did that happen?
Well,
where did it happen?
Well, it was mainly the roughly 1820 to 1880, there was an explosion of corruption in the order. Then from 1880 to 1900, there was a equal explosion of this occult stuff in the order because, okay, you'll have Masons who will defend the place and say, oh, well, but when you talk about people like Aleister Crowley or the Golden Dawn or the OTO and these things, well, that's not Freemasonry. So you're talking about, you're comparing apples to oranges. Well, no, that's misinformation, because the fact of the matter is you can select any single occult order, secret society, any of them. You pick one, put all their names in a hat and draw one out. And what you're going to find is it was begun by Freemasons who were creating a sort of a new sect, if you will. That's the way that the Golden Dawn came to be. MacGregor Mathers, Aleister Crowley were all 33rd degree Masons who were basically bored with the goings-ons that they found, I guess, to be not quite occult enough or a little bit stale. And so they expounded on that and took it in directions of high magic and the Kabbalah and so on and so forth. Now, before Crowley, over at the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, that was actually founded in Germany by a guy named Theodor Reuss. Reuss was a descendant of the Bavarian Illuminati. So here again, you have this merry-go-round of Freemasonry was always in existence, but then you had the Bavarian Illuminati, which kind of stemmed from that. But then the Bavarian Illuminati was outlawed in Germany, so it transmutes and it becomes the OTO. Then the OTO, working in conjunction with Freemasons, gives birth to the Golden Dawn. Then the Golden Dawn takes over, and as far as high magic and all that is concerned, and starts putting its initiates in key places around the world. For example, that generation, Mathers, Crowley, Bailey, Blavatsky, all of them, their proteges and aspirants were the next generation of names like Jack Parsons, Israel Rigardi, L. Ron Hubbard, who founded Scientology. All that stuff goes back to Masons and the Golden Dawn working hand in hand. So, I mean, my analogy that I make is once you get to be a 32nd degree Mason, it's basically the equivalent of stepping through a doorway into a hallway full of doors where these other things come about. And this is why Freemasonry is so favored by these other occult orders and the intelligence communities as well, because they prefer to do their recruiting from there. So CIA people, MI6 people, a lot of them come from that pool. They're picked, they're headhunted from there. This is another reason why Freemasonry's got to go. And there's a vested interest in it not going away because of this power structure. That power structure collapses, the House of Cards comes down, then this corruption and everything goes away. So as far as when was that transition made, roughly 1820 to 1880. And that's when suddenly the Scottish Rite comes out of nowhere and seems to be the new boss of everything Freemasonic. I mean, it's just, it's really uncanny. But this
when
is all-
was the Scottish? When and where was the Scottish Rite established, and who established it?
It was first established in Charleston, South Carolina, by Albert Pike and those types. Pike took a loose set of Masonic degrees that didn't really come from here or there. They were just sort of being traded around on the American frontier for money. You know, a guy comes into a town and decides, you know, okay, I need some money to eat and drink and find lodging and everything else. So he would sell, oh, you know, I got this from a guy who got this from a guy that it came from Europe somewhere. So Pike takes all these degrees and reorganizes them into the 4 through 32, and then the 33rd as well, system that is now known as the Scottish Rite. And that's why they worship him as practically a demigod, because they call him the father of the Scottish Rite for having done all that. And that's when, because at the same time, Freemasonry was also trying to reinvent itself and recover from the Morgan Affair and the killing of Joseph Smith and the fallout with the Mormon Church and all that. They'd really, really almost been run out of business in the mid-1800s, at least in America. And so the Scottish Rite was sort of a Band-Aid, a fix-all, or whatever to all of the controversy that was going on at the time.
You know, that sounds like in the 70s, communism had a really bad name in New Zealand and around the world. So the people in the Communist Party changed their name to the Progressives. And suddenly people thought that, oh, well, communism's bad, but we can vote for the progressives. That's completely populated by communists. Is that the same kind of thing?
Yeah, basically. Or you could also equate it to politicians and lobbyists, the Freemasons being, well, both. I mean, if you make the rules of the game and then you play the game, it's going to come out in your favor all the time. That's the nature of the corruption in it.
Now, you mentioned the Morgan affair and Joseph something. I'm not familiar with those cases overly.
The Morgan affair was William Morgan. He was a Mason out of Batavia, New York, and Joseph Smith was the founder of the Mormon Church, who they call their prophet. That's really neither here nor there. You know, I think Mormons tend to be shiny, happy people, but their religion is a little bit wacky for my taste. In any case, William Morgan and Joseph Smith were the two most famous open, brazen Masonic assassinations of history that created such an outcry that it almost saw their complete undoing in society. And so they basically had to pull back and hide out in private homes and things like that for the remainder of the 1800s until the Scottish Rite reemerges in America, and then the Golden Dawn kind of emerged over in Europe and then spilled over into America. And they've always sort of run parallel. I mean, and I always knew about the Golden Dawn, but then moving to Los Angeles, I got a real big, heavy, too close for comfort dose of it. And its members definitely think of themselves as both Masons and Golden Dawn initiates.
Mm, that's the otherwise commonly known as Golden Dawn. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
What's going on here? And you kind of skirted over this, and I actually wanted to know do you know the actual details of the Morgan affair, like what he did, how they assassinated him, what his life was like up in those final weeks, months, years, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, he was going to write a book about Freemasonry, William Morgan. They found out about this before it could even be completed and published and all that. They kidnapped, they had him jailed for bogus charges. And then when he was coming out of the jail, a horse-drawn carriage pulled up in the year 1826. And they kidnapped him off the streets of New York and took him to Fort Niagara, where he was murdered. And the entire population found out about this. I mean, the killers bragged about it. And it created such an outcry that it actually resulted in the formation of the Anti-Masonic Party, which later became the Whig Party in America. You had people like John Quincy Adams and Millard Fillmore and all these former glorious presidents and people came out very publicly and condemned the entire order, as did most of America and the world at the time. Then of course, the Joseph Smith thing was the same type scenario, except that Joseph Smith was a Mormon, was a Mason before he was a Mormon. So it is postulated that the Mormon temple rituals are basically one and the same of the Masonic Blue Lodge rituals. And the Masons sort of felt that he plagiarized that material and gave it to the unwashed masses or whatever. And so that sort of sealed his death sentence. They had him thrown in jail, same MO, except they walked into the jail and just shot him at point blank range and said, good night. And those two events together really almost did end Freemasonry. And
it spent the last almost 200 years recovering from it.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's how much damage a couple of insiders can do. You know what the problem is, though, James? They had to be killed before the public stood up and took notice.
Yeah, that's, I guess, the way it is with a lot of things. It's very unfortunate, but, I mean, it's a matter of people just, they've got to arrive at a conclusion in their own minds that, okay, that's enough. I don't want to live in a world like this, and so we take action. I mean, I've been out taking action, but I mean, I'm one person. I can only be at so many places and speak. I mean, I do this all the time. I speak and I speak and I go to protests and I march just like you do and all this kind of stuff. But so many people are still just either asleep to it or they are awake, but they just, at the end of the day, like I said earlier, they don't want to get involved. And let me go grab something real quick. We'll have a little show and tell real quick.
And for those of you who are watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see this. Those of you listening on the radio, I'll have to describe what James is showing us as he does it. And, it occurs to me that there's really quite a lot of material to get through, and you can't just listen to one show or two shows or even 10 shows and suddenly know everything there is to know. I mean, like, this is the result of what would take somebody maybe 10, 15 years of pretty intense research in order to really come to a lot of the conclusions that James is simply giving us straight off the bat. And that's the opposite of the mentality of Freemasonry, where they don't tell you the big secret until you have paid your dues. So anybody listening to this who's questioning it or whatever, you haven't paid your dues yet. You ain't got the background behind you. You're simply jumping to a conclusion that we're laying out for you based upon all of that diligent work. So, James, without further ado, you've got a little bit of show and tell for us.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, for anybody that thinks that, because like you and I have talked about many times, you know, we talk about this stuff, and then there's always those trolls that come out afterward, and,
always.
Yeah. Okay, so to anybody who may have a doubt lingering in their mind as to what my knowledge and my exposure and all this type stuff is, here is a little book. It was not a little book. It's quite thick. Weighs about 40 pounds. It's called The Complete Golden Dawn System of Magic. This is a $400 book. Right here on the inside.
We've got about 20 seconds, James.
It says, To Brother J, 93, Lon Milo Duquette. Lon Milo Duquette is the deputy grandmaster of the OTO. I've known him for a long time.
And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break with James Wright.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah,
but I'm here now.
Yes, he's here now. What you gonna do? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest, a good friend, is James Wright. Now, you had that big old book there, bro. Who was that? Who was that dude that signed onto it? It was in 1993 that gave it to you. James, are you there? He appears to be frozen there. AFR, can you please hang up on and reconnect James there? We've got a little bit of a problem with these connection issues. He's doing wireless connections at the moment. It seems to be kind of intermittent. I'm sure it's not part of a conspiracy. I say that kind of sarcastically. So you can turn your webcam back on there, James. all right. Sorry about this, folks. Right. Now, you had it. Yep, I've got you. And now, you had a book there. I'm not sure if you could hear what I was saying before. There we go. The complete collection of the magic of the Golden Dawn, the system of magic. The complete Golden Dawn system of magic. What is it about magic that entices these people so much?
Well, I think it has to do with the aspiration to control the world and your environment around you. That's what those forces represent. I mean, I'm not trying to like knock on Lon Duquette here or anything. He's a wonderful, sweet guy. I mean, I trust him and all that. The only point I'm trying to illustrate here is I bloody know what I'm talking about. I mean, the reason why I have this book, number 192 of 300, for Brother J, 93, Lon Milo Duquette, is because I have been in this environment for so many years, bumping elbows with all of these elite, occult masterminds that, I mean, if I say oh, the Freemasons are at a higher level working in tandem with the Golden Dawn. I know what I'm talking about, so I'm just not interested in people attacking me and saying, oh, well, you can't prove that, or you can't. No, yeah, I can. And the only reason I have that book is because it was given to me in Los Angeles because the Golden Dawn, not Lon or any of those people, were trying to convince me to accept some degrees. They wanted to give me my Adeptus Minor degree in the Golden Dawn and all, and I declined. I don't see that as being necessary for my life right now. I think that being involved in these things wrecked my life to begin with. And coming out publicly and blowing the whistle on all of them has certainly not made anything better, but at least I'm on the side of what's right and the truth and the right side of history. So,
you know, this reminds me of an experience that I had. I exposed this guy who was a bit of a psychopath down in New Zealand here, and he was tied in really close with the Black Power gang. And, you know, just kind of like living under threat for a couple of months, you know, worried each knock on the door might be a member of this gang coming to get us. And my friend who was in this kind of situation with me, he was offered protection by another gang, but we had to pay them. And without even questioning anything, he suddenly paid this other gang and told me that I had to pay too because he'd already given them the money. And they didn't give us any protection. In fact, if anything, they started to get really angry with us and started to become a threat to us too. Like the way to protect yourself from a criminal gang is not to go into the arms of another criminal gang. And just like if the people who are trying to attack you and take you out are a cult order, the last thing you want to do is rush into the arms of another occult order. Is that about right?
Yes, I liken it to, as far as what happened in L.A., it reminded me so much of that scene in episode 3 of freaking Star Wars where Palpatine finally reveals himself to Anakin and Anakin's, you know, kind of taken aback like, whoa, and, you know, I can feel your anger and all that. I mean, yeah, that's basically what dealing with the CEO of New Falcon Publications was like. It's, I can't even really put it into proper words other than to say that I was mortified by all this, and I'm thinking, oh great, you know, now I've gone and signed 3 different contracts with these people, what now? And so you know, I declined their honorary degrees of the Golden Dawn. I declined signing that merger agreement with one company that I have the ability to and the company that owns the Golden Dawn and all this, and they were very, very peeved by my actions, even though it was done calmly, pleasantly, with respect, no thank you, but that's not what they wanted to hear. And that's when that environment in LA started to turn against me. And you know, we've talked about this some off air, but it's just, it's been a nightmare from hell.
Quite literally, as in like the movie From Hell, where and indeed there was a compound that New Falcon had given you, that a very secure compound, and inextricably, people were starting to come in out of the frickin' woodwork to put like things on your on your windshields and so on and so forth. Threats, or there were people coming through the security gates, through the doors, and indeed, like there's no way. There's no freaking way they could have come in to this secure compound unless the person who had even given you that that place to stay in were the one letting them in, giving them their own clicker, giving them the codes.
Yes, I mean, it's that's speculation at this point, but I do get the very strong feeling that New Falcon had a lot of duplicity in the things, the threats, etc., that was going on in LA. I mean, I'm sorry, you can't tell me, you know, okay, we're the Masons, we're looking around Los Angeles for this guy. Well, you're looking around like what, 8 million people, 10 million cars? That would be impossible. So I think they probably did have a tip-off. And to make matters worse, the fact does remain that if something was to have happened to me there, then New Falcon not only stands to become very wealthy from it, but then the Golden Dawn gets what they want too, because they finally get that core issue to demonize Freemasonry with and pull in their business. Because you got to remember, at the end of the day, for these people, these groups, these occult orders, secret societies are businesses that sit on a shelf and they sell very, very well. They make millions and millions of dollars. So it's just, it's a very shady, shadowy business interest that is, that's why the Scientologists, if you're anybody and you go near that Scientology Celebrity Center there in Hollywood or anything, they have cameras that take your picture and scan your license plate and in the office there in the building evaluate whether or not you are any kind of a threat to Scientology, like if you were a reporter or if you, you know, whatever the case. And then they either send their guards over and tell you to leave, or they just leave you alone and let you go on your way. But, I mean, this is why these groups are so protective of their stuff. And then you get their little troll agents who want to sit there and point fingers and, oh, you're insane. Oh, you're a charlatan. Oh, you're that's not true. Well, yeah, it is all true. And the only reason those people even believe so much to defend the place is because they've been convinced in their own mind control that they are somehow, when this is all said and done, going to gain from it. They're going to have a lofty seat or a wonderful title or some sort of power in this world that stems from the networking of these orders. And, I mean, I've got news for them. They can think again. It's not going to happen. The Sith kill their apprentices, their master, whatever. It doesn't work. It never works out. Show me one Mason that's ever had good intentions that's come up out of this environment on the up and up and having gained something. There isn't one case in history. So this argument, as far as I'm concerned, is null and void.
Yeah, you don't really have anything to gain. It's like there's been many, many films made when a character makes a deal with the devil, and the devil promises them many, many, many wonderful, extravagant things, and they don't actually get any of them. All they get is scumbaggery.
Wah, wah, wah.
I mean, come on. These are children's fables that adults have forgotten.
Well, yeah, they allow themselves to become seduced by that dark side. They invite the vampire in, and then it's in. And what can you do? I, at a once upon a time in my life, you know, was no different. I worked in, I had an office at 500 Harwood Street in Dallas at the Scottish Rite Building. I was deeply into all this stuff, and it took such a incredible series of abuses and shocking things that I had to go through for that programming to shatter and break, and for me to take a look around myself and go, oh my God, what am I a part of? What the hell have I gone and let myself become? And so I separated from the environment. I came out publicly, and the rest is history.
Well, as was most of the things in your life, that's all history. And you have a look at what happens to whistleblowers. It doesn't matter what they're blowing the whistle on. And I found it very interesting that your cousins compared you to Edward Snowden, is that, you know, or everything in your entire life just goes away, you know? Your family, your security, your vehicle, your safety, your peace of mind, your ability to sleep, your reputation, everything just whoosh, as if somebody's cut it off with a guillotine. And what I find very interesting, and I want to really address the people who do troll the websites after this. What do you have a conscience? Do you have any empathy at all? Because you have a look at James. He's clearly very, very genuine, going through a lot of suffering right now. And you come out and you attack them and you call them names. What kind of a decent human being does something like that? And the answer is, no kind of decent human being does something like that. Nobody kicks people when they're down if they claim to be good people, you know? I mean, what are you playing at here? And I just, I can't fathom that kind of response, namely because I care about people, particularly when they're in their time of need, as James is right now at this particular moment and has been. For how long has it been since you came out against Freemasonry, James? How long have you been having to deal with the Shiite Muslim?
I initially came out against them in right after New Year's, January of 2012. However, I had left and separated from that environment in August of 2011. And I mean, this stuff started right up the day after, the literal day after. I mean, I went out to...
Oh, no, we seem to have lost James. AFR, can you please reconnect him real quick? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, American Freedom Radio has been doing a lot of work in recent times trying to just keep things going. So, James, if you want to turn your webcam back on, we can see you now.
Okay.
Okay, so it's basically been almost 2 years. I'm sorry. So the day after you left the Masonic Order, what happened?
My phone was blowing up, and they were calling me. I mean, I would back down the driveway, and they would call immediately. And where are you going? What are you doing? What are you feeling? Who are you talking to? And all this kind of stuff. And I let it alone and avoided them and did not return their calls and all that. Then I, you know, I was went and put myself into some therapy, talking to a psychologist about everything that had happened because, you know, I wasn't able to sleep and it was all really freaking me out. And that's when I made the decision to take steps to protect myself and sound the alarm, come out publicly, do all that. The book was basically, it was no ordeal to write it or anything because it was mainly taken from a series of like my own diary entries and whatnot. So it was just a matter of organizing it. And here comes New Falcon and I'm thinking, oh, you know, okay, great, wonderful. It's someone out there really cares. Well, that's exactly what they wanted me to think. You know, I'm like, oh, well, wow. I didn't even have to call a literary agent. I've got a publisher immediately banging down my door wanting to sign me under their label. How wonderful is this? And I mean, I thought that for the better part of a year. It wasn't until moving to Los Angeles and being right around the core of these people with that side of things that I figured out, okay, evidently I've been some sort of pawn, and they're just, I think their agenda the whole entire time was to try and promote a flop and discourage me and get me to fade off into obscurity. I don't think they ever counted on this exploding and gaining the momentum and the public outcry and everything else that it has. And they seem to be very upset about that. Why do I have emails from New Falcon telling me to quit going on the air and quit speaking publicly about all this? Don't they want to sell their damn books?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, we'll be right back after the break at thevillainhoustonshow.com. Back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I've got to give big props to our producer, Adam. This show has been plagued with technical difficulties, and he's just Johnny on the spot, just boom, 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 like a radio ninja. Big props, brother. Okay, now, James Wright is my very special guest. Final segment here, got about 12 minutes or something. So what have we covered so far today? We've covered your living situation and how there really are real threats on your life. We've covered some of the Masonic history and how Freemasonry indeed got corrupted and taken over by the Scottish Rite. We have covered some of the assassinations by Freemasonry and some of the dark past of that particular scenario. We have covered how a lot of Masons are indeed just an ordinary, good, decent people who are simply misinformed, that they think that they know everything because they're on the very, very low levels where they don't actually tell you anything. And we've mentioned the trolls, which are very much like these kind of people who come out and attack James, saying he doesn't know what he's talking about or he doesn't have the evidence and so on and so forth, when he clearly does, and he's even literally written the books on it. What else is there to really cover at the end of the day? Because I know that you're feeling tired, James, and thank you for giving some of your time up to be on this broadcast with me today. But really, there's probably thousands upon thousands of different other topics that we could touch on. Would you like to shift from the Freemason topic altogether and talk about something completely different?
I guess it's just, you know, I feel it's necessary to note that when we're talking about Freemasonry, we're talking about the larger umbrella octopus entity that is over all of these other things. So when people want to sit and talk about things like Bohemian Grove or Skull and Bones or the Bilderbergers or whatever, well, I mean, that's all real and valid, but it's... we're forgetting that higher organizational mechanism that makes all this possible. So all this disinformation that's out there about, you know, focus here, focus there, people need to realize that a lot of that is coming from Masons trying to steer them off the path, off the scent, and protect themselves. I mean, it is a self-preserving organism, Freemasonry, so that's to be expected of it and its adepts, members, whatever. So, I mean, we can talk about anything. I've been doing radio here at KFKA 1310 in Colorado for a month now, and I feel like we've only barely scratched the surface of 3-hour shows. So, I mean, there's always more stuff. It always goes deeper down the rabbit hole. This is how this is. They've set the system up in a manner to where, you know, it's groups within groups, and infiltration is the name of the game. And you might be in this town here and not be dealing with Masonic sheriffs or media or whatever, but then you go to the next town and you probably are. And so it can get very confusing. It can be very daunting. I understand that. So, it's just going to require a lot more of a committal on behalf of the public to it as an issue. And I mean, that's what I hope to accomplish with this. We've got to bring them down and stop this.
Well, and you've indeed launched a petition to outlaw secret societies, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, but remember it was for having done that. Now, you can go on whitehouse.gov and fill out things, and you can talk on the mainstream media here in America about the government flying planes into buildings. You can talk about all the evils of Bohemian Grove. You can talk about politician corruption and corporate soft kills and poisons and Monsanto and all this stuff. But the minute you start to say the F word, being Freemasonry, you are censored. You have 4 different constitutional rights violated, and there's no explanation given. So, yes, I had gone on whitehouse.gov and filled out that petition, but within a matter of hours, it was mysteriously removed, and now my ability to go onto www.whitehouse.gov has been removed as well. I've been blocked. So clearly it's an issue that DC, the White House sitting right across the street from the Supreme Council building, does not want to come up. So people need to write the mainstream media. They need to tell various personalities in the public eye that they want to hear about this, that they want the issue tackled, and not with the Masonic apologists that the Supreme Council dispatches, like to the History and Discovery channels, to sit there and tell you that, oh, all the Founding Fathers are Freemasons, it's so wonderful, we donate to charity, nothing to see here, move along, please disperse. That's just not it. That's a sack of lies and manipulations. So, now, I mean,
you recall towards the start of the interview how I was talking about how you can make a spy novel thriller about just the things that have happened to you since releasing your books and everything like that. And you mentioned calling it the F word, the Freemasonry. And I was thinking that would actually be a great name for the script, the F word, meaning Freemasonry.
Well, you know, I mean, I've been living in Hollywood this year. I'm not there now at the moment, but I did come to an understanding that there are various persons in Hollywood, like you hear about Keanu Reeves and Woody Harrelson and Charlie Sheen and all these types, but I've had someone else in the entertainment industry, it's actually someone you and I both know, tell me that at the end of the day, those people are never going to challenge Freemasonry because they know that's basically sacrificing their future in Hollywood.
That is the case, and if anything, it would have to be a very independent film indeed. And of course, those independent filmmakers would wound up dead in a ditch, cut into 8 pieces, and ruled a suicide by the coroner, who happens to be a Freemason.
So ridiculous. It's far as I'm concerned, it's just more disinformation, this notion that, like, the Jews control Hollywood or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I went plenty of places and saw plenty of powerful situations and environments, and I never once saw one that was Jewish. They are all neck deep in the occult.
Yeah. And for those of you who watch on the videos behind me, there have been picture after picture of Masonic floors and symbolism, all lifted from Hollywood movies. Okay. And I've got a whole folder called 33, which is just every single bit of Masonic symbolism that I see when I'm watching any given film. Okay. I just take a screenshot and make sure that it's in there. I'd love to make the documentary 33. That'd be great, just to show people just the intense saturation of Masonic symbolism in Hollywood. It is unavoidable. Virtually any massive film that you could ever conceive of is just loaded with the stuff. It's not a freaking coincidence. The Jews don't control Hollywood. The Arabs don't control Hollywood. It's the occultists. They love it. I mean, you know, watch even, say, the Green Lantern, when they're taking this little scientist dude into this big underground secret scary-looking bunker to do an alien autopsy, and the woman says to him, this is our first alien contact that we've ever had, despite what the conspiracy theorists will tell you. And then the dude does his autopsy, and then he passes the information to her on a hard drive, and on the hard drive is stamped with the all-seeing eye of the Illuminati. Okay? They're throwing it in your frickin' face, ladies and gentlemen. Are you naive? You'd have to be to think that there's no such thing as a Masonic conspiracy. It's everywhere you freaking look. It's like saying that there's nothing wrong with the banking system. Everybody is in debt up to their freaking eyeballs. 80% of Americans are classified as being in poverty right now, virtually. All right? It's not a freaking accident. This all ties into the Illuminati. This all ties into the New World Order. This all ties in to one global system. One global system with one globalized religion, with one global power structure, with one global banking system, one global food regulatory commission, one global health organization, so on and so forth. One world army, which NATO will evolve into. They are taking over the freaking world right in front of your eyes. And you come out and say that James Wright is crazy because he's exposing the structure right at the very center of it that ties all of these things together. James, I just want to say thank you so much for doing what you do. there are few times in history where a man will come out and risk his life, his liberty, his property, and his sacred honor to do right by everybody else, forsaking themselves. Your sacrifice is well noted, at the very least by me and by many others, I'm sure.
That's very touching, Vinny. Thank you. I mean, yeah, that's really the only way to look at it, I guess. And yeah, that's a good note to end on too. As far, I mean, if people want to know the name of that controlling force in Hollywood, let's forget calling it what the music videos and everything else do, the Illuminati, and call it by its real, very open public name, the Order of the Silver Star, or Argentum Astrum. Those letters, AA, that ain't Alcoholics Anonymous. It's Order of the Silver Star.
All right. Thank you, James, for your contributions today. If you want to contact James, help him. He needs lawyers. He needs protectors. He needs funding. He needs exposure. He needs many, many things. If you are listening to this and you are capable of giving him any of these things that he needs, facebook.com/OccupyFreemasonry. James, thank you very much. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And we'll see you again sometime, provided we don't get assassinated by Freemasons in a black coach.